You know, there is a line in the notes for this month. It's right there in the introduction that it actually made me stop reading.
Oh, yeah.
I literally had to put my tablet down and just stare at the wall for a minute. It says, there are moments when Jesus does not invite us to learn something new, but to walk with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a complete stopper, isn't it? He just reframes everything right from the get-go.
It really, really does. And welcome back, everyone. We're tackling a subject today that I think a lot of us think we know, but the material we have here suggests we might have missed the entire point.
That's a good way to put it.
The topic for this month is following Jesus on the road to the cross. And I'll be honest, when I first saw the packet for March, my brain immediately went to history lesson.
Right.
I was expecting maps of Jerusalem, maybe some, archaeological context about the Via Dolorosa, that kind of thing.
The dusty roads, the geography, the dates. It's kind of the safe way to approach it, isn't it? It keeps
Yeah.
it all back then instead of right now.
Exactly. It's safe because it's distant. But as we started digging into these newsletters and the study guides, it became clear so quickly that this isn't a history lesson at all. The authors are framing this as a live invitation.
That's the key phrase, live invitation. The core argument here is that the road to the cross isn't just a path Jesus walked 2,000 years ago. It's a paradigm. It's a way of operating in the world that is available and, I mean, maybe even required right now.
And that's the shift I really want to focus on. Usually in these conversations, we're looking for information, right? We want to get smarter. We want the little facts we can bring up later.
Right, accumulation.
But the mission of this content is totally different. The notes explicitly say, put the notebook down. This isn't about accumulation, it's about
It's
transformation.
about movement. Yeah. If you look at how the marked materials are structured, they're really trying to push us out of what they call Sunday morning Christianity.
Okay, so what does that mean in this context? Because that can mean a lot of things to different people.
Well, the text defines it as, safe, predictable, and managed.
Yeah.
It's a faith that fits neatly into a calendar slot.
An hour and a half on a weekend.
Exactly. You go, you sit, you listen, you leave. But the road to the cross is described as a disruption, a move into authentic power and presence. And the argument is you can't have the power of the resurrection without the disruption of the road that leads there.
Authentic power. That phrase really stuck with me because if you polled most people, even, deeply committed people, powerful probably isn't the first word they'd use to describe their daily experience.
Not at all.
Busy, maybe, stressed, routine, tired.
Dry is another one the notes use, and I think that one really resonates with a lot of folks.
It does. So if we want to unlock this authentic power, we have to get our heads around the mindset required to even step onto this road. And this is where the material gets, well, it gets challenging. It says, this road begins not with answers, but with a call.
And that call is fundamentally about leaving safety behind. I mean, if you want the high-level summary, that's it. You cannot hold on to your need for control and follow Jesus to the cross at the same time.
They're mutually exclusive.
They are. The notes really emphasize that we love Jesus the teacher, we love Jesus the healer, we love the Jesus who multiplies lunch for everyone, but Jesus, the man walking toward his own execution, that's a much, much harder person to follow.
Because following him there means we're walking toward things we spend our entire lives running away from.
Precisely. And the newsletter is just so blunt about this. I love it. It doesn't try to sell you a vacation package. It says right up front, this is going to be hard.
I really appreciated that honesty. It points to the original disciples as Exhibit A. I mean, look at Peter. The text highlights his journey specifically.
It does. And it's such a crucial case study. You have Peter who is just full of bravado. He's the one saying, I will die with you. I am never leaving.
Everyone else might, but not me.
Not me. And then, what, mere hours later, the pressure mounts, the spiritual atmosphere shifts, the darkness closes in, and he just crumbles. I don't know the man.
It's so easy for us to judge Peter from 2,000 years away, but the notes use this to validate our own struggles, don't they?
Yes. The point isn't to shame Peter. It's to show that if the people who physically walked beside Jesus found this road impossible in their own strength, why should we be surprised when we find it difficult?
That's a great point.
The disciples scattered. They ran. So the material's telling us, look, it's okay to admit that this scares you. It's okay to admit you want to run.
That is such a relief to hear because in so many circles there's this pressure to pretend, I'm blessed, highly favored, everything is great.
The mask.
But this month's topic demands we drop the mask. It says this road asks us to lay down our plans, our pride, and our need to be in control. And that last one, control, that's the big one for me.
It's the idol of the modern age, isn't it?
Right.
We curate our lives, we manage our image, we optimize our schedules, controls our safety blanket.
And the world just reinforces that. I mean, think about the books on the bestseller list. They are all about gaining more control.
Oh, absolutely.
5 steps to master your morning, how to hack your productivity.
Get rich in 30 days. Yeah, we're addicted to the shortcut.
We are. We want the result without the process.
We want the resurrection without the death.
Mm-hmm.
We want the crown without the cross. But the insight here, and this is really the theological anchor of the whole month, is that Jesus offers something so much deeper than self-improvement. He's not offering a technique to become a better you. He's offering himself.
That's a radical distinction, self-improvement versus self-denial.
Right. And the text argues that self-denial is actually the gateway to the only life that really matters.
Yeah.
It's a complete paradigm shift. You're not just adding Jesus to your life to make it a little better. You are losing your life to find his.
Which I think brings us to the season of Lent. Now, usually when I hear Lent, my mind goes to dietary restrictions.
Chocolate. It's always chocolate.
It's always chocolate. I'm giving up soda. I'm not watching Netflix. And the notes acknowledge that, you know, those disciplines are fine, but they argue we're missing the point if we stop there.
It calls them surface level.
Yep.
The word the material uses over and over for this month is alignment.
Alignment. Okay, unpack that a bit.
Think of it like a chiropractic adjustment. It's not about putting a bandage on a sore muscle. It's about snapping the skeletal structure back into its proper place so the whole body can function how it's supposed to.
That's a great picture.
The goal of Lent, according to these notes, is to align our hearts with God's heart. Does giving up chocolate do that? I mean, maybe if it drives you to prayer. But the real goal is to slow down enough to let the Holy Spirit do deep work.
Deep work. That sounds a little like surgery.
It is surgery. Mm-hmm. It's open heart surgery. It's allowing the spirit to get to the parts of us that we usually keep buried under noise and busyness and just life. Mm-hmm. And that kind of work, it just can't happen when you're rushing through life at 100 miles an hour.
Okay, so we've got the diagnosis. We need surgery. We need alignment. But how? Because I can hear the listener right now saying, okay, I buy the concept. I want that depth.
Yeah.
But I have a job. I have kids. My commute is an hour. What does this actually look like on a Tuesday morning?
And that's where I was really impressed with the packet this month. Because, you know, so often these things stay up in the clouds. They're very theoretical. But they've given us a very specific toolkit.
Right.
4 resources designed to actually operationalize this theology.
Let's walk through them because they seem to fit together almost like a system.
They do. It's a roadmap.
So the first one is the prayer guide. Now, again, we have to check our assumptions. When I hear prayer guide, I think of a laundry list. Dear God, please fix this. Please give me that.
The grocery list approach to God.
Yeah.
The guide they provide here is fundamentally different. It describes prayer as positioning.
Position.
Yes. It's not about informing God of your needs. He already knows them. It's about positioning your spirit to hear his voice. The notes use some really specific language, like learning to feel his heartbeat, moving in rhythm with his purposes.
It implies God is already speaking. We're just usually too loud to hear him.
That's it exactly. It's a two-way communication. There's a fascinating bit in the introduction to the prayer guide about groanings too deep for words. It encourages you to just let the Spirit intercede when you're too overwhelmed to even speak.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. You're so burned out, you can't even form a sentence. You just sit there.
Exactly. And this guide says that is a valid prayer. The goal isn't eloquence. The goal is to develop a yes in your heart before you even know what God is asking.
A yes before you know the question. That's dangerous prayer.
It's the most dangerous prayer you can pray. But it's the only one that leads to the cross.
Okay, so that's the prayer guide. The second tool is the Bible studies. And again, the shift here is from information to reflection.
The metaphor they use is a mirror. Often we read scripture like a textbook, right? We study it to master the content. These studies are designed to let the content master us. It focuses on seeing ourselves in the story.
Ooh.
Specifically, recognizing our own tendency to follow from a distance. It's uncomfortable. It asks, where are you in this scene? Are you the one running away? Are you Peter denying him?
It just cuts right through the defenses.
It does. The notes say that Scripture has this unique ability to reveal the gap between what we say we believe and how we actually live. And you can't fix a gap you refuse to see.
So the prayer guide positions us. The Bible study reveals us. Then we get to the third resource, the discipleship guide. And the theme here is obedience that trusts God.
This is where the rubber meets the road. And there's a critical distinction made here between compliance and obedience.
That's an important nuance. What's the difference?
Well, compliance is about rules. It's checking boxes so the authority figure won't get mad at you. It's based on fear. Obedience, in this context, is based on relationship. It's doing what God says because you trust that he is for you, that he knows what's best.
So it's the difference between an employee following a handbook to avoid getting fired.
Right.
And a child trusting a parent who's guiding them across a dangerous street.
Exactly. When you know someone loves you perfectly, obedience isn't a burden, it's a relief. You don't have to figure it all out yourself. You just have to follow the one who knows the way.
Which leads to the fourth resource, which might be my favorite because I'm such a practical person, practical living tips.
Yes, taking it out of the sanctuary and into the street.
The notes ask some really probing questions here that seem almost mundane. How does the road to the cross affect how you drive in traffic?
Laughs. The traffic question.
How does it affect how you respond to an annoying email? How you spend your money?
It sounds trivial, doesn't it? But the authors argue that if your faith doesn't work in a traffic jam, it doesn't really work.
Ouch. I feel seen.
We all do. But the aim is practicing the presence of God in the interruptions. The notes point out that Jesus' ministry was almost entirely a series of interruptions.
That's so true.
He was on his way somewhere, and someone stopped him. He didn't see that as a nuisance. He saw it as the assignment.
That is a huge perspective shift. Usually, I see the interruption as the thing keeping me from my work. This says the interruption is the work.
And it challenges us to see every single interaction, the cashier, the slow driver, the difficult child, as an opportunity to die to our own impatience and let Jesus live through us.
So we've talked about the struggle, the cost, and the tools, but I want to pivot now to the so what. Why go through all this? Why sign up for the hard work of dying to self when the world says pamper yourself? What's the payoff?
The payoff is the central mystery of the faith, losing your life to find it. The notes call it the paradox of power.
Explain that.
We think power is asserting our will, right? Getting our way. But the spiritual reality is that surrender leads to victory. The cross leads to the crown. It sounds completely contradictory to the human mind. But when we let go of our white-knuckled grip on our lives, we actually get our lives back, but in this redeemed higher state.
And the text gets very specific that this power isn't just a metaphor. It's not just feeling better about yourself.
No, it's not poetic. It's tangible. The notes highlight that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us right now.
Wow.
We're talking about the power to change things that seem completely unchangeable.
Like what? What are we talking about here?
Deep-seated fear turning into courage. Breaking free from an addiction that's had its hooks in you for years. Anger turning into peace. These are things human willpower usually can't touch. You can't just will yourself out of crippling anxiety. But the power of the resurrection can break those chains.
The notes also mention broken vessels being used for great purpose. I love that image.
Me too.
You don't have to be perfect to experience this power. You just have to be a vessel.
God specializes in using the broken. In fact, you could argue he only uses the broken because the unbroken think they don't need him.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. I'm listening to this, and I'm inspired, but I'm intimidated. A listener might be thinking, this sounds amazing, but it also sounds impossible. I'm not a saint. I'm tired. I have a mortgage. I can't do this.
And if you're thinking that, you are 100% right. You can't.
Laughs. Well, that's encouraging.
No, but that's the whole point. And the notes address this directly. They say, you can't, not in your own strength. If you try to walk the road to the cross on sheer willpower, you will burn out in a week.
So what's the alternative?
The alternative is the sustaining presence. You aren't walking alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you to empower you to take the steps you can't take on your own. It's not about gritting your teeth and trying harder. It's about surrendering to the current of the Spirit.
So the pressure to perform is gone.
Completely gone. It's replaced by the invitation to abide. I mean, look at the disciples.
Right.
They messed up constantly. They didn't get it, but they stayed close. That's the job description. Just stay close.
I think that changes the whole tone of March. It's not a test we have to pass.
Not at all.
It's a journey we get to take.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up, I want to paint a picture. The notes describe what a community looks like when they actually do this, when they stop just playing church and really start walking this road. What does that look like?
Oh, it's beautiful. Imagine a community where people pray with actual power because they're aligned with heaven, not just reading words off a page, but actually moving things in the Spirit. People who speak with authority but not arrogance. People who live authentically. No masks, no Instagram perfect lives, just real broken people being put back together by God in public.
And that kind of community, that changes a neighborhood.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
Your coworkers notice when you don't explode in anger during a crisis. Your family notices when you have a peace that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's the witness. That's what draws people in.
So this isn't a someday topic. This isn't for when we retire and finally have time to be a monk.
Right.
The invitation is for today.
Today, not tomorrow.
Today. Okay, so let's get practical. The notes give us a specific charge. 5 next steps. I want to walk through these because we don't want this to just be an interesting conversation you listen to while folding laundry. Yeah. We want action. Step 1, commit.
Make a decision right now. Don't just close this app and open up social media. Tell God I'm in. Verbalize it. Write it down. There's real power, both psychological and spiritual, in making a definitive choice.
Step 2, engage.
Don't skim. We are all skimmers. We scan headlines. Do not scan this material. Set aside 15 minutes a day. The notes suggest 15 minutes is the sweet spot to start. Use the prayer guide. Use the studies. Really dig in.
Step 3, community.
Yeah. Do not do this alone. Isolation is where the enemy wins. Find a friend. Send them the link to the notes right now and say, hey, let's do this together this month. You need someone to pick you up when you stumble, because you will stumble.
And step 4, expect resistance. This one feels really important to mention.
It's vital. Be realistic. If you decide to align your life with God, the enemy isn't going to just applaud. He wants you asleep. So when that distraction comes, or that sudden wave of doubt, or you just feel incredibly lazy and don't want to do it, recognize it for what it is. It's resistance. Push through it.
And finally, step 5, watch.
Keep a journal. I cannot stress this enough. Watch for how God speaks. When you align your heart with His, things start to happen. You'll see coincidences that aren't coincidences. You'll feel little promptings to call someone. Write them down. Build your own record of God's faithfulness in your life.
This feels like a significant moment. The road to the cross isn't just about death. It's the road to the empty tomb. It's the road to everything we've actually been longing for.
It leads to true life. It's the only path that does.
So here's the final thought for you listening. The link to download all the notes, the prayer guide, the Bible studies, the discipleship guide, all the living tips, it is all available right now in your packet. Don't wait. Click the link. Download the materials. Start the journey today.
Let's walk it together.
Let's walk it together. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the road.